Blog Talk Radio.
Despite advancement through the years, women still make on average 77 cents of what a man earns. Like many women, Laverne Freeman has faced this gender inequity and confronted it head on through her career and business experiences. And on today's show, she will give us valuable tips and strategies on how to address these gender issues with finesse and professionalism. The Job Coach is back. Employment expert and career professional, Laverne Freeman is back to help you enhance your career development, find your next job, or help you get through difficult obstacles. Are you stuck in a job you hate? Is there a future for you in another organization, but you're too afraid to make that move? What is your risk factor in taking on a new assignment in your organization, or may require you to risk the creative creature comfort that you currently enjoy? And what if you're over 50 and suddenly find yourself out of work and competing with professionals your kids' age? If we hit on a hot button, today's show is definitely for you. And we'll share some tips for you on staying sane and financially afloat as the economy continues to recover. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. We have a dynamic show for you today, one that really resonates with so many women across the United States. It is Women's History Month. We have made lots of progress, but as the header had said and the setup piece had said, we're only making, on average, about 77 cents to every man's dollar. So that's not right. We've got to change that. Part of it is a responsibility, clearly, of women, but it's also the responsibility of our policies, the system that is in place, and all the factors going into who the decision makers are and how those decisions are made. I'm really excited that Laverne is with us. She's part of our kitchen cabinet leadership team, and we have her on periodically to give us the kind of advice that all of us need to have. It's a really good day here in Boston. It's like the second day of spring, yay, or the first day of spring. I'm not sure whether it's the first or the second. It is not snowing. It rained a little bit earlier today, but I'm really excited that we are having great weather, and this is just the beginning of the spring season. Thank you so much for being the guest on my show today. Laverne Freeman, welcome back.
Thank you, Carol. Good to be back.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you with us. Well, tell us about your journey, first of all. The setup piece was talking about women, and clearly we're talking about the fact that women are on average earning 77 cents of what every man makes. President Obama has talked about it and is pushing it now in terms of pay equity. What's been your journey, and how have things changed over the years?
Well, my journey started, like most of us, I made less than my counterpart through the management system, all through my career, and I had to be better, faster, quicker, and all that wonderful stuff. I kind of got I got very tired of that and couldn't fight my way out of it, so I started my own business so I could pay myself what I thought I was worth. And I've been very careful since that, when I closed my business and took some time off and reinvented myself, that I made sure I started, I didn't start lowballing myself. I started at what I thought I was worth. And that's how I remedy the situation. Everybody does not want to be an entrepreneur, but that's what worked for me.
Well, I mean, your story probably can resonate with many, many women out there, some who have started their own business, some who went from one corporate job to another, and so the story goes on. Why do you think in this day and time, 2014, we have so many advances, women have done so well, I know that there are women out there, the woman who wrote Lean In, she's being portrayed as a real go-getter at this point. She is actually the executive at Facebook. We have people like Oprah Winfrey who, you know, has made gobs of money and done so well. So we have the high rollers like that. But the average woman out there trying to earn a living, take care of her family, sometimes they're breadwinners. What's the scenario? What are some of the issues that women face today that keep us from being on par with men in terms of pay equity?
Well, I'm encouraged by, I'm always seeing the glass half full. I'm encouraged by the women that just get elected to, like, General Motors, who run General Motors and make those strides. But we've got to be, we've got to have equity in the boardrooms, and we've got to have, we've got to be looked at as equals, and we've got to destroy some of the myths that they have about women being hard, when we're hard driving, and when we have these tags that hang on our heads. If we're hard driving, they call it, we call us other things other than just hard driving, if you know what I mean. But
we've got to
position ourselves and not be afraid to say what we want to achieve and where we want to be and push for where we want to be. And we have to have good mentors. Mentors are the key to me of getting what you want and where you are. We have to have mentors in these organizations. I know a lot of women that don't have mentors in these organizations, or when a mentor leaves, they haven't leaves the company, they haven't aligned themselves with someone else to help mentor them to get where they want to be. And you have to be organized.
Right, right. So organization is important. Mentorship is clearly important. So let's take a scenario of a woman who's well-prepared, well-qualified, and she has now been offered a job promotion, or she has been offered a position in a new company, and she is in the process of negotiating her salary. Give us some tips for that particular woman and how she can successfully negotiate a salary that puts her right on par with her male counterpart.
Well, first, it's not just about the salary. It's a lot of other things that go into that. She's got to negotiate benefits, and she's got to negotiate stock options, and she's got to get – I get counseling on things like that because I don't know everything and all the things,
right.
But she's got to negotiate more than just the salary. She's got to research and find a coach. There are a lot of coaches out there to coach you through the process and find out what the counterparts from other organizations and other companies, what they actually get and what they ask for. She's got to start off with what she wants, not take less from the beginning, because it's much harder to get that as you go through the organization. It's better off to get what you negotiate, that's what you get, what you negotiate up front before you take that job. She's got to negotiate up front.
So what you're saying is the negotiation is obviously it's a dollar value, but it's also really having a sense of all the other resources and benefits that go into that salary package, whether you're carrying it a company. And probably you're also not saying yes with the first offer that's put on the table. I think that's where women really make their
biggest mistake. Of course not. Of course not. I don't know if women do that so much now as they used to, but you've got to come back. They do?
Yeah,
you've got to come back with a counter offer. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been out there working for other people for a while, but I don't know if they do that, but you cannot just take that first offer. You've got to take some time and think over that offer and negotiate not just the salary, but other things that make up that offer. You've got to, you've got to get it going in, because once you've signed on a dotted line, you can't hope you're going to get it along the line, and you've got to have an exit strategy. If it doesn't work out, what do you get if it doesn't work out coming out of that job?
So we're talking about the kind of strategies and techniques that will help women to achieve. Another thing that I learned many years ago is the person who speaks first doesn't really lose but is at a disadvantage. So sometimes if, and this is just my strategy, if a price or if a salary is put on the table, how that woman responds and how she reacts may determine how the negotiation goes. So if, in fact, if she says nothing and allows the employer to talk first, then I think sometimes it puts her in an advantage because she's just waiting to see what else can be offered along with what's been put on the table for her.
Well, I mean, that's one strategy that that works. I think before you go into those kind of negotiations, I always tell people, I have a bottom, I have a mid-ground, I have a top, plus I have things
right.
that I want to give to the employer, that these are things that, these are must-have, these are things that that's a deal-breaker for me. I always have those things as well, and I negotiate from a point of strength. I don't come in from a point of weakness, and I never
mm-hmm.
say yes on the first round. I don't
right.
make it so difficult that nobody's going to want to hire me. I don't do that,
right.
but I know what I'm
right.
worth. I know the things
right.
that I can do, and I know the things I cannot do. So,
right.
I mean, I do
right.
know my limits, but I also know the things that I do very well. So I negotiate
mm-hmm.
from a point of strength, and I don't oversell, but I don't undersell myself as well.
Right.
A lot
so
of women, they undersell.
Exactly. I mean, that's the point. Mm-hmm. And the underselling comes from lack of knowledge because so many
exactly.
times women – I find don't go out and find out what other people would be willing to pay you in another organization with the same kind of position. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying you have to do your homework. You have to research.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
anything else.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what the internet's
so true.
For.
So true.
Yeah.
and talking to job coaches like Laverne Freeman. That's
yeah.
also an important piece, too. There's another piece also, and this is another strategy with so many companies that are changing, reorganizing, lots of baby boomers who are retiring or retiring early. I mean, there are lots of shifts that are taking place. And I just heard this a week ago. Sometimes it could be to your advantage to go into an organization knowing that you are going to have a pay cut working for that organization only because the opportunities are greater with the new company than they were with the older one. And I just had someone, I went to an event, and they were talking about how that worked out that way for them. This was a woman at a meeting that I attended. She knew because she was changing industries, and she was very well proficient. But she knew this was a door opener. So she went in. It was a pay cut. But within time, not only did she make up in terms of her salary, the position that she is in is far greater than she would have ever achieved in her other organization. Do you have any thoughts about that in terms of
move
forward?
That works. I can give you an example. If you have a CFO position in a smaller company and you're in a large company and you're an accountant or you're a director and your goal is to be a CFO, you might take a pay cut with a smaller company to get that title and to do that CFO position for about 3 or 4 years, and you can come out of that company as a CFO, and you can go to a larger company and make tons more money as a CFO because you've had experience as a CFO where you wouldn't have gotten to be a CFO at a larger company. That's a strategy move. That works.
That's a great example, very good example,
mm-hmm.
going from large to small, different, higher title, less pay, but in time you can be certainly
yeah.
much, much farther ahead. Great
and it
example.
Works. Yeah,
another
I've had people
example,
do that.
Very, very good example. Another example are women who shy away from leadership roles when they are in voluntary positions, and I have many examples of this. Where there are opportunities working for a nonprofit organization, you're volunteering, you are a volunteer, you're on a board, or you're working on a project and an assignment, and there's an opportunity that comes up, and it has your name on it pretty much so. But for whatever reason, you say, oh, they're not paying me, or I don't have time, or you don't really see where it's going to lead. If sometimes your next opportunity is the person that you're working with these nonprofit unpaid assignments. They see how you work. They see how you operate. They see the kind of leader that you are. And they consider you and make an offer to you within their own company just because they've seen you in a nonprofit setting. Any thoughts about that, Laverne?
Yes, that happens all the time. I worked for a nonprofit organization, Operation Able, but that happens with the programs that we have. We have midterships, we have internships, and that happens all the time. People here go out on intern and midternships where there is no money involved, but the people see how they work for 6 weeks or 4 weeks or so many months, and they are hired, and they're hired at jobs that they've gone to school for, they've trained for. These people are not without skills, though. They come here with a set of skills, but they want to enhance their skill level, and they are hired by great companies out there, and they're hired to do the jobs that they've gone to school for. So that happens here a lot, and we have a lot of wonderful success stories. We have also just on that line, we have a lot of, if you've been reading the papers lately, there are a lot of articles about the baby boomers and about people that have been out of work, mature people that have been out of work for a long period of time. They're starting their own companies, and most of the small businesses now are started by older workers, and we're having a function on March 27th with the SBA and AARP to answer all those questions and to help people that want to own their own business and to start their own business, telling them how to get started with their business plan and finance, and we're having that at Operation Able. So, yes, that happens a lot. It happens a lot here.
You know, you mentioned entrepreneurship and starting at mid-career, certainly when you are later in life and a mature person and you have lots of experience. Lurie Davis is your counterpart from the finance perspective. He's also a Kitchen Cabinet member. And last week and previous weeks, he is talking about if you find that you've either lost your job or you've been laid off or whatever, if you're in the position, being an entrepreneur, becoming an entrepreneur is definitely a way to go and a way to turn the corner in your life. So you're saying what he's saying. That's great.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's been in all the papers, and that's why we're having this event on the 27th, is to help people to learn how to do this the correct way, how to get finance and how to write their business plan. But things that were a hobby or that were fun for people to do now, they've turned that into actually making money, making a living doing something they love to do. So that's what a lot of people are doing.
That's great advice, great advice. One other place I'd like to, particularly for black people, black women in particular, since we have such a connection with our churches, we're very spiritual, very faith-based. I think some of the greatest contacts you can make are at your church. At churches in your neighborhood, because black churches in particular have such a wealth of people from all walks of life, your senior executives and those who are rank and file and those who are emerging or just starting in careers, you find it is in the black church. So oftentimes you can build relationships, you can talk to people, and you can learn an awful lot about salary negotiations and career success just from the people who's in the pew with you, who are in the pew with you.
That's very true. That's very true. You've got to talk to people.
Any thoughts about that, Laverne?
Yeah, you've got to talk to people. I've been in church all my life, and you have to talk to people. You don't know everybody that's in there, but you've got to talk to people. That's a wealth of knowledge. You've got to talk to people. We encourage the networking and the talking to people here at Operation Able, because there are people in churches and in organizations that you wouldn't believe that have so much knowledge, and there are all kinds of people. So you have to be able to talk to people. You have to network. Networking is how it's done. That's the way to go. Not just social networking, but talking to people. And job fairs, we're having one also, and we're having workshops on how to get the most out of a job fair. We're having the workshops on April the 3rd, and we're having the job fair April the 10th for mature workers. So, you have to do those things. You have to. You have to be out there. You have to be in people's faces. You have to.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to be a little bit vulnerable to get information. I know as I've moved from one place to another, I, in the past, created flyers. If I were
yep.
years ago, when I wanted a certain kind of home or a certain kind of apartment, I would package it together in a flyer and give it to people because they
yes.
may know one or know of a place that would be available, and it certainly landed me into a place that I lived in for a couple of years. So, again,
yep.
you have to sort of make yourself available. You have, as you're saying, you have to talk to people and let
yep.
people know what you want and, you know, what kind of opportunity that you're looking for. That's
exactly.
So, so often, that person, that quiet person in
yep.
your church, he or
yep.
she may not be the decision maker, but that person
right.
may be close to, related to, the mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, the cousin of the decision maker. That's
you're
what's
so right.
beautiful about church.
Yep.
Yes.
You're so right, but you have to be a little open and not be so afraid to talk to people, and that's exactly,
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, Laverne, tell us how people can get in touch with you. And even though Laverne is located in Boston, I know that if you are in San Diego or Chicago or Atlanta or Dallas, I'm sure that there is an organization like Operation Able in your town, those that cater to those who are mature, over 50 years old, and
yep.
who are in job position. So, Laverne, give us your contact information.
Okay. You can reach me by on telephone at 617-542-4180, and we are right across from the TD Bank Gardens. I call it Boston Gardens. I still do. And my email address is lfreeman@operationable.net. And that's
great,
how you can reach me. And we'd love to, you know, have you come down to some of our fairs. We have events all the time, and people get jobs, really, from our job fairs. And we cater
mm-hmm.
to the mature worker.
That's super, super. Any mm-hmm. closing thoughts, Laverne Freeman, from your years of experience dedicated to these women who are out here really trying to make a difference?
And I'd like to tell them, you know, what I find is the research piece is what they usually are missing when they come in here to do their research, to go on LinkedIn. You know, I'm a LinkedIn believer, to go there, to ask people to join you on LinkedIn and to join the groups on LinkedIn and to talk to people on LinkedIn, and also to, you know, to do your research on companies and see what companies are user-friendly and which companies are user-friendly to women, and go on there and always check online for jobs that are available and what jobs are available, and apply online and follow up, even if you get one of those little notes back saying, we got your application and we'll let you know if something comes available. Follow up and call and contact them, but you've got to be aggressive. And this one more thing, there are jobs out there. They're opening up. I talked to several companies that came to our meetings yesterday, and they said they had hiring blitz. I mean, they have hundreds of jobs open, and they're looking for people. I mean, that's what they told me, and I believe them. So the things have turned around, especially in healthcare. They just can't
Wait.
Find enough people.
Wow.
Of all ages.
Well, there you have it. You have it from
okay.
an expert. She's out
yep.
there. She knows what she's saying, and she's been there. The experience that she has is so valuable to all of our listeners. Laverne Freeman, thank you so much for being
thank
a guest
you so
on
much,
the program
Carol.
Today.
Okay,
we'll
see you
next
time.
Thank
okay.
you. All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. We heard from the expert. There are jobs out there. There are opportunities. And also, I think the beauty of what she said, and it was just validated by Lurie Davis, who we talked to last week and in previous weeks, is that if you are 50 years old, if you are getting older and you find that you're in job transition, lots of people, that happens. Companies make changes. They make budget cuts. They cut jobs, and you find yourself with that pink slip in hand. You know, how you react and how you make that transition, even if you become an entrepreneur or a consultant for a short period of time, doing things where you can collectively look at all of your experiences, all the experience that you bring to the table, packaging that together in a way, in such a way where you can benefit and you can help other people. Perhaps you can become an executive coach. There are lots of training programs that will teach you to become how you can become an executive coach. You can get certified in coaching. So there are programs out there where you can, as a person of one, as a body of one, become an entrepreneur, become a small business owner, and provide the goods and services that can help other persons. Perhaps you bake cookies, or perhaps there's a product that you've been tinkering with and you've been working on for a long time. That also can lend itself well to the kind of business opportunities that you can put forth. But I think the most important thing, as we go back to our original topic, if you are a woman in this day and age, is to remember your own value and your own worth. So often, women sell themselves short. You figure you have skills that may not be of interest to other people, or you compare yourself too aggressively with other people, and then you assume that the other person or the other people have a leg up in terms of a job position or a client, an agreement that you're trying to work and settle out. Whatever it happens to be, selling ourselves short gets us into trouble all the time. So Women's History Month is about fortifying and empowering ourselves so that we realize our own potential, that we act on our own potential, that we implement the talents that we have. We obviously collaborate and help one another, but develop these negotiation skills, these very important skills that we talked about earlier today in terms of who speaks first, who doesn't speak first. Sometimes you need to have a lot more ammunition. You need to have a better sense of your position as an administrator, a support person, a senior director, a project manager, whatever your position happens to be. What is the comparative salary of your job? If you were to look at your job, and how does that compare with a similar kind of position in other industries? You have to have that knowledge so that when you go into your session where you are you're discussing your salary with that HR professional, it's probably going to be an HR person, you know where you're coming from. You know what your worth is, and you're getting top dollar for who you are. Now, that's the advice that we give you. The alternative of that advice is if you are going from, let's say, a corporation to a nonprofit organization, and the dollars are vastly different. So you know if you're moving up into a higher-level position, moving from a corporation and then moving to a nonprofit organization into a higher position, that the pay may not be the same. You may have to take a pay cut, as I had mentioned that someone talked about earlier, because in 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, you'll not only be in a senior position, but you'll make up the difference in terms of the salary that you'll ultimately get. That's a strategy when you're stepping back to move forward. So it's just more importantly, more than ever, as a woman, it's so important to know your value and to do your research and to find the mentors who are out there and to credential yourself, make yourself authentic because of all the experiences that you have. Stop putting yourself down. Stop saying you don't have X, Y, and Z to make it happen. Yes, you do have X, Y, and Z to make it happen. You just are not seeing it where other people may see it in you. And I'm hoping that if anything else for this show today, you can realize and really take stock of who you are, evaluate who you are and the skill sets that you have so that you can become a better woman, you can become a better, certainly, role model within your family and in your community, and do it in a way that will benefit not only other people, but definitely benefit you as well. Go out there and make it a great day. I'll continue on with Women's History Month, and we just thank you so much for listening today, and we hope this will be a great week or weekend for you, and empowerment definitely begins when you believe in yourself. Go and have a great day. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We will see you next week.